Bill was a mentor and quite a famous Unitarian Universalist. He was president of the association some years ago. He followed that up by being president of Amnesty International and then became president of our Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. Otherwise, he's done nothing with his life. Anyway, Bill tells the story of his time at Amnesty, in which he traveled quite a bit and often found himself visiting refugee camps, which are singularly places full of despair. On one visit to a particularly grim camp, Schulz noticed that there was a woman with a string around her neck with a colored piece of glass attached to it. Think beach glass, although that's probably not the best analogy for somebody from Colorado talking to folks in Wisconsin. But it was a colored piece of glass, and it was lovely enough and eye-capturing enough that Bill went to the woman and asked her about it. And she said that she wears it even in that refugee camp because it reminded her that beauty still exists in the world and it helps her stay strong. And that story has been with me all month, and it reminds me of a Dostoevsky quote, "Beauty will save the world," he wrote for one of his protagonists. Now, maybe that strikes you as it did me initially as idealistic or even naive. And yet I have to tell you, there's a part of me, part in me, I suspect, maybe I hope it exists in all of us, that knows that that's true. Beauty will save the world. Because when we witness beauty, when we take it in, when we can feel ourselves actually expand, our burdens seem smaller, I think, because the container in which we find them has enlarged. Our perspective grows because it is no longer informed solely by despair. The world will be saved by beauty, was activist Dorothy Day's favorite quote, so much so that her granddaughter published a biography of Dorothy Day by that same title. You see, for Day, it's the clarity of that quote inspired her. It inspired her justice work and her willingness to love the world as it was. She wrote this, "I do not think I could have carried on with a loving heart all these years without Dostoevsky's understanding of poverty, suffering, and drunkenness." For Day, what she got out of those words was that all of that suffering coexisted with beauty. It didn't eradicate it. Now, in this moment, when so much seems broken and dysfunctional, where there is so much fear and sadness and anger, recalling this quote, recalling Dostoevsky's faith in beauty to rescue us, and to note how it was bedrock for Day's ability to love the world out loud and work for it, feels important to me. It is brave, after all, to find or create beauty or nurture it where there is only fear and anger, because you never know the good that will come out of it. It reminds me of the story of the so-called cellist of Sarajevo. Do you know it? During the Bosnian War, there was a blockade of the city of Sarajevo, which was bombed relentlessly from the mountains that surrounded it. The city of Sarajevo is kind of just in this little valley surrounded by mountains. So it was cut off from the rest of the world, and people were hungry there. And one day there were some hungry people from various homes, and they darted out for food, and they went to a place they knew to be a bakery to see if there's anything in the bakery that they could carry back to their homes to support themselves and their family, to sustain themselves and their families. And on that day, from the mountains and from the area environs, snipers shot and killed 22 people who were searching for food. 22 people died. In memory of those 22 folks, in memory of each of them, for the next 22 days, a musician by the name of Vedran Smolovich, took his cello to the streets amid the bombs, amid the gunfire, and played as if he were performing for a live audience in a concert hall. Each time he took to the streets could have been his last. He treated it still like a concert, wearing always formal attire before going out to the street with his cello. Now, naturally, people said, "You're crazy. You are crazy." But he responded, "Why don't you think the violence is crazy?" He reminds me in that of songwriter Phil Oakes' words that in times of great ugliness, the only protest is beauty. In times of great ugliness, the only protest is beauty. And the music, the defiance, the boldness was beauty, and a reminder of the reality that humanity, not just humans, but humanity will survive. In thinking about the cellist's action, and also I have to also think about his choice of music. You see, I wonder if I were a trained musician, and I had the courage to play among the rubble and the artillery, what would I play? It's almost an impossible question for me because it's so outside of my reality. Yet the question percolates in me, it pulls at me. And if I close my eyes, if I close my eyes and I try to imagine myself there, the smell of sulfur, probably, all of the dust, the desperation in the air, I can almost feel the fear in my body. I can almost feel the nearness of death, my own and that of my neighbors, my family, my friends. And I have to say, what enters my mind is I want comfort. And in our own hymnody, I think of, I want comfort me. I want there is a love holding me. I want there is more love somewhere. And if I close my eyes again, and I still keep imagining, I stay with that imagining of what the air felt like, what my hopes might be, what my fear might be. If I'm with all of that, I think, well, comfort isn't enough. Comfort wouldn't do it. So maybe what I'd want is to play music that would rouse people's spirits, that would keep them hopeful, that would increase hope, including my own, maybe to fight something. I maybe want to inspire other people and myself. But Smolovich didn't go in either direction. Instead, he chose Ol Benoni's Adagio in G minor. So instead of comforting or rousing spirits, he chose to go in an entirely different direction and connect with the longing in each of us. That longing that knows loss and despair and yet continues to hope for something better. For 22 days, it was the same piece. I invite you to go to YouTube sometime today and find a recording of it. close your eyes and let it fill you. And don't be surprised if you begin to cry. The yearning is palpable. And somehow, Smolovich knew that it was important to keep people connected to their innate hope for something better in such a time. Again and again, he was told his actions were crazy, and he countered by reminding them that it was the violence that was crazy, not the beauty. And he pled for that violence to stop. He said, "We are not combatants. We are not. We are just flawed and beautiful and aching for love. We are just flawed and beautiful and aching for love. And I love that. These days, I love most anything that flies in the face of the polarities and binaries to which we have been largely enculturated to see as truth. Beauty being one of them. Beauty is something outside us. It's something we encounter. Something or someone is beautiful or not. Beauty is perfection. Beauty is ideal and fixed and rare. Beauty is something that we can only hope to observe." And yet our centering words, our opening words this morning were Scott Taylor's, and he cautioned us. He reminded us we shouldn't forget that we are part of beauty. We are part of beauty. It is woven around us, through us, between us. But most of us forget. Most of us, I suspect, have written off our own beauty and our own ability to create it. It's too big a word. We can either itemize all the ways in which we fall short of beauty, or we can offer the many words we've heard over the course of our lifetimes about the ways in which we have fallen short. We may be like our friend Olivia from the story. We are good at wearing people out. We are good at wearing people out because we're too much of something or some things. Olivia hates taking naps. She has to try on everything with a flourish and a mess. She creates her own artwork. Time out. She needs multiple bedtime stories. And after the last one of those stories, Olivia's mom gives her a kiss and says, "You know, you really wear me out, but I love you anyway." Mom is just being honest. She is worn out. Olivia is, in polite terms, a handful. And mom just wanted to read her a story and get a little quiet time. She meant nothing by it. And yet many of us have heard that or things like it said. And we've said to ourselves, "That's it. I'm wrong. I'm not okay. I'm not enough. I'm too much. I'm surely not beautiful." Beautiful people are those that don't wear others out. We forget that beauty is part of us and we are part of it. We forget, as Scott Taylor's words reminded us, that we are here to notice, that is, nurture those elegant strands of beauty, the way they call to us, the way they hold us, the way they connect us. And yet we forget. We forget because we get caught up in all the ugliness of the world, the violence, the meanness. The minute we put a screen on, or turn on the radio, or open the newspaper, so much violence, so much wrong, the meanness, the political decisions that whitewash history, the laws that threaten the bodies of women to make their own healthcare decisions and reproductive choices, the hate against LGBTQ folks, whether the anti-trans legislation or the schools like the one in Louisville, Kentucky, that gave kids homework just a week or so ago to convince their friends not to be gay. The hate-filled mass shootings that seem to never end. There is some big ugliness going on. Beauty is easy to forget, easy to overlook. Tending to it can feel disloyal, frivolous, even poor judgment. But friends, just as hate produces more hate, ugly produces more ugliness. Sharon Salzberg is a favorite author of mine, a Buddhist teacher whose teachings have taught me. She tells a story of offering a workshop in Parkland, Florida after the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas School in 2018 that left 17 people dead and more injured. At that workshop, one student spoke up and shared, "This feels really weird." And when asked what she meant, she said, "This is a great day, and I feel so grateful to be with you, Sharon, and with everyone gathered, and to learn so much about mindfulness and healing." And yet she said, I know the only reason I'm getting to have this experience is because of that shooting. Well, Sharon Salzberg looked at the student and told her that her gratitude didn't negate the tragedy or the grief, that life is about holding both. It's about equanimity. That is balance. That is wisdom. That is understanding that every day, every single day is full of joyful connection and devastating loss, of inhumanity and kindness, of ugliness and beauty, and everything in between and beyond any of that. And as bodies, as beings, we are called to hold both. We don't get to get over anything. We just learn, if we grow into the fullness of our humanity, we learn to hold both. Again, I return to our friend Olivia from this morning's story after the third bedtime book and the full day of Olivia being fully Olivia. And out loud with all of it, her mother leans in to kiss her goodnight. "You know," she said, "you really wear me out, but I love you anyway." Without missing a beat, Olivia returns the kiss and says, "I love you anyway, too." In other words, Olivia is saying, "You aren't always easy either." In other words, even though you feel the need to tell me I wear you out, I love you anyway, too. In other words, even though relationships aren't easy ever, no matter if they are by birth, by blood, or by choice, they aren't easy. And still, yep, I love you anyway. Olivia illustrates what trans activist, poet, and writer Alok teaches. If you don't know Alok's work, I encourage you to look them up, A-L-O-K. Alok teaches this, quote, beauty is about that attitude of showing up and saying, I'm worthy of being here. Alok called us, calls to us to recalibrate around beauty. The definition of beauty we've inherited, says Alok, is so flat and so basic, it makes beauty a commodity that we can purchase or achieve. And we are promised that once we do that, once we achieve it, once we buy it, well, then we will get power. We will have power. Except, of course, what always gets left out is that that is false and conditional power available to us only if we stay within the lines. And beauty is so much bigger. Alok urges us to look for it in the parts of ourselves that we have marked for dead, for unacceptable, the things that we think have cast us out, like Olivia being too much, wearing people out. When we reclaim our beauty, the beauty of the world becomes more apparent. We will see beauty in things, in nature, in humanity, and in ourselves. Like Reverend Soto said, we will understand that we were meant for beauty and belonging. And we will recognize beauty as boundless, as truly unruly, as feral as our original gift. Alok said, beauty is looking like ourselves. Beauty is our soul's imprint on the earth. And so, beloved James Reeb congregation, may this be the day that we recover our own unruly beauty, knowing it is how we bless and save each other and this world. So may it be. All my relations, Shanti, Shalom. Amen.